Healthcare, we have a problem. Our communication is broken, and we need to change patient and provider beliefs in order to provide better care and help people live healthier lives. Welcome to the HIMSS Innovation That Sticks podcast, where we bring you conversations with innovators who provide insight to unique and transformative solutions and ideas in healthcare through their expertise and experiences. Today, we are happy to welcome Jeff Fritz, CEO and health action expert at Revel Health. They believe the way healthcare traditionally communicates with people is broken, so Revel is reinventing it. They are replacing Stone Age practices with friendly conversations powered by smart technologies and artificial intelligence. In this episode, we sit down with Jeff, where he discusses what are social determinants of health, how communication within the healthcare industry is broken, how technologies such as artificial intelligence can help lead the way toward change, and the importance of why we as a society need to focus on social determinants of health. All that and more in this episode of Innovation That Sticks. HIMSS would like to thank our Innovation That Sticks podcast sponsor, NewWave. NewWave merges innovation, precision, and compassion, empowering their clients to use technology in new ways as they solve problems for the greater good. NewWave is an information technology company helping businesses and government agencies modernize and thrive by applying the power of technology. Learn more about NewWave at www.newwave.io. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
For our listeners who may not be familiar with social determinants of health, can you help baseline us on your definition?
Sure. Social determinants of health is a pretty broadly used term today that I think is starting to narrow in its definition. And the biggest thing that I hear time and time again are, what are the things in society that are preventing an individual from getting the care that they need or desire? So some examples of a societal determinant or a social determinant of health would be, I'm not in a mental or physical position to make decisions about my care because of the diet I'm on or the lack of food supply that I have. That would be a social barrier for me getting the care I need. Another popular one is, I don't have transportation availability that allows me to get to a physical location that may be able to offer me the care that I need. These are the standard social barriers or social determinants of getting health care that people are talking about today, and there's quite a bit of focus on not only breaking down those barriers, but is there funding availability in order to allow people to fill in the required services to remove the barrier?
So it sounds like there are issues with perhaps access to healthcare or access to the things that an individual would need in order to follow their care plan or to follow their physician's orders moving forward to better manage their health. And that does sound a lot different than, let's say, population health. Can you maybe explain to our listeners how this differs from population health?
Yeah, population health, the term came around when there was a movement to try and look at groupings of individuals. And those groupings of individuals might be typically geographic groupings of individuals, so a community of people, let's say it's in a small town, that community makes up a population that the healthcare provider ecosystem viewed as a unit, and that unit they want to make healthier. So over time, those populations have gotten more and more granular, and now the goal is to move from big groups to very small or almost to the individual of the care that's given to the population as a whole. So the difference between that and social determinants are, within the population, there may be certain circumstances that are affecting one's ability to receive care, these social barriers, and that is dragging down the health of this segment or this pool of people. And so a social determinant or a social barrier to health would be something, if you removed it, you would see a increase in the health of that population, be it a population of 100,000 people, a population of 5,000 people, or a population of 2 people. You would try and identify what barriers can I remove from getting care, and which of those are social barriers.
Why is it important for us as a community, us as an industry, why is it important for us to focus on social determinants of health?
The biggest reason to focus on social determinants of health is to catch cost factors or disease states earlier on. So earlier detection, earlier intervention is always the goal. We have a healthcare delivery system that is built on people becoming sick or ill or having a physical manifestation of a disease that they can feel or see and go into a healthcare provider and get it fixed. And now we're moving to a place where we want to catch those conditions earlier and earlier. If we have social barriers from just getting care once we've determined care is required in the old model, sick care, if you will, and we're trying to get people to come ahead of getting sick, preventative care, if you will, or early detection care, if you will, those social barriers or any barriers to care become larger impediments to bending the cost curve, which is really what we're trying to do over time. We all want to spend less money. We all want to live longer. We all want to have the care delivered to us when we need it. And so the more that we can get people helping us bend the overall cost curve of healthcare in this country or this community or in the world, the more we can get out of our healthcare system for less dollars.
Well, it seems like if we can reduce the cost of healthcare, that would be a tremendous leap forward with how we can help our economy and help those who need more access and get them the resources. It does sound like there needs to be some sort of, there's earlier and earlier interventions here, it seems like. So if we're able to identify certain folks, then we can intercede and make sure that we get them on a path towards wellness and healthy living. But that comes with some changing of attitude and some beliefs. So how do we go about changing people's beliefs? Where do we start? And how do we design thoughtful interventions to reach these folks?
Yes, the good news is there's two important practices in not just healthcare, but in the broader economy that help us with this challenge. Tapping into beliefs, behavioral science practice. So sometimes beliefs are changeable, sometimes beliefs are unchangeable, but understanding what the belief structure of an individual is or a group of like individuals gives you insights into how to message to them, how to involve them in their own healthcare. It can unlock a lot of opportunities for better outcomes. The second practice that is out there is data science. We hear about artificial intelligence a lot today and machine learning, but really it's how we leverage computing power and math to let a machine do a lot of fast calculations, marrying the things that we learn from behavioral science to all of the data that might be available about an individual or a population of individuals. So those two things, behavioral science and data science together, really are the opportunity to leverage these belief systems into tailoring care, tailoring communication for better outcomes.
You're speaking of the technology, artificial intelligence and machine learning. It seems like there can be a significant role with these types of technologies to really help push the needle forward with identifying these social determinants or identifying folks who are facing social determinants. How large of a role is AI and machine learning currently playing, and where does we go forward in the future?
Well, here's the good news, is that we have seen a lot of great examples of machine learning, artificial intelligence. And I don't want to get, those are buzzwords that get thrown out a lot, but it's basically computing power, data, large amounts of data about individuals and populations of individuals, and math being calculated at a speed that humans can't do. So we've seen what Amazon did with retail. I know that when I do some of my shopping now, I just open my Amazon account and things get delivered to my house within 24 hours oftentimes. And that magic of that experience, including them personalizing the experience for me, recommending which products I might like to have, that's all machine learning and AI as we see it. The good news for healthcare as a lagging technology player is that we get to leverage a lot of the learnings that have happened with other spaces. That makes for a really bright future for healthcare to use these new technologies to help break down, understand, and act on things like social barriers, social determinants of health. So what used to be a large study that was very analog can be a mathematical equation that's very digital and can happen in seconds versus months or years.
As we think about these early interventions and we think about the role of technology, it's a changing how we interact with our patient populations. So when we're trying to reach out to folks who may be facing social determinants of health, the healthcare industry needs to be able to communicate with these folks. Are we doing a good job? Is there room to improve?
This is a question that I think about every day in the business that I'm in, is solving for, it's an embarrassing level of poor communication that we deliver to our healthcare community, our healthcare members, our healthcare patients, whatever you want to call these individuals that are trying to engage with the health system. What's embarrassing and broken about it is that we see example after example of painting everybody with the same brush. So we see large banks of call centers and expensive nurses calling hundreds and thousands of individuals with a script, and the script is the same script for each person. Well, everybody on that line is different. Everybody comes with their story, and your approach to each of those individuals should reflect how individual each story is. We have technology now that helps us tailor that story, tailor that communication, tailor how you reach people. What kind of mode do you use? Do you call them? Do you send them a text message? Do you send them an email? Should we be sending them a recording or an avatar or a postcard? There's all these different ways to communicate. And we still see time and time again that everybody gets the same treatment. We have a very low impact on the populations. What we're moving to, and what I get excited about, is tailoring our approach, tailoring our communication, and doing that in such a way that it's very fast to have a custom tailored, custom approach to each individual. And we find that the results show that tailoring gets us through those social barriers or social determinants of communication, social determinants of health, much quicker than any other way that we've been doing it in the past.
So it seems like we're talking about perhaps action. And how do we reach out and how do we communicate? It does seem like one script does not fit all. That's for sure. I think we've learned that the hard way many times. How does health engagement and health action differ? Is there a difference? Are they related? How do we view these types of action steps?
They're for sure related. One comes before the other. Engagement, historically, we've claimed win or success by, quote, engaging people, which means, hey, look how many people opened this email. Look how many people picked up this phone call. Look how many people opened a piece of physical mail. What we didn't measure was the result or the action. Did they take the action that we were hoping they would take? Did they go get a vaccination? Did they go get their annual physical? Did they get their colorectal screening completed? Those are the actions that were intended, and those are secondary to the what was formerly a success, which was engagement. So the world is shifting to the results, the end results, or the actions that we want them to take versus the engagement in the communication that we presented to the individual. Super important distinction. Even the CMS, who runs Medicare and Medicaid, is starting to recognize that in the beginning, they handed down regulations, which were good regulations on this is how you have to communicate, how many times you have to communicate with an individual. This is what we'd like you to communicate them on with them on. And that all fell under this umbrella of engagement. And now there's a shift to what is the resulting action that is taken. And it's less important about how they were engaged. It's more important about did they take the action or not. And that's exciting. That's an exciting development in healthcare today.
You know, when it comes to success, it's no longer good enough just to have the outreach. What was the action taken? You're so right. I think it's exciting, and I think that's a really important place for us to try and reach when it comes to this engagement. A postcard, an email, an emoji, whatever it might be, as long as it gets the folks to go for their flu shot or get that yearly physical or get their immunizations, whatever it might be. That is just so important to see the actions take place.
Absolutely. That's the exciting part, and we're early, I think as a healthcare system, we're early on the journey, but early signs show that there's a renewed appetite on getting people to take these actions and understanding things like social determinants of health help us unlock getting people to take those actions.
Well, it's clear that it's important and the industry should listen, and we need to take these steps forward because it's about health care. And it's about caring for our populations and caring for those who need medical attention and they need the care that is required for them to stay healthy. It's very important, and we need to make sure that we keep a spotlight on social determinants of health. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you had a wonderful time. I know I did. It was very informative, and thank you for joining us again.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me. And if anyone has any questions, they can find me on our website, rebel.com. Happy to engage in the conversation more. Thank you.
We'd like to thank our guest, Jeff Fritz, CEO and health action expert at Rebel Health, for helping us understand social determinants of health and why this topic is so important in our cultural conversations. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, New Wave. Innovation That Sticks podcast is a copyrighted production of HIMSS, a global voice, advisor, and thought leader of health transformation through health information and technology, with a unique breadth and depth of expertise and capabilities to improve the quality, safety, and efficiency of health, healthcare, and care outcomes. HIMSS designs and leverages key data assets, predictive models, and tools to advise global leaders, stakeholders, and influencers of best practices in health information and technology, so they have the right information at the point of decision. HIMSS drives innovative, forward-thinking around best uses of information and technology in support of better connected care, improved population health, and low cost of care. Thanks for listening. I'm Ian Hoffberg. See you next time on Innovation That Sticks.